Hey everyone, this is Dina Jones, one of the founders of Joe Bean Roasters. At Joe Bean, our mission, Coffee That Lifts Everyone, is about giving selling power back to coffee farmers, as well as purchasing power into the hands of our customers. Through our network of farmers, we're able to bring you naturally grown, amazing coffee directly. Our long-term farming partners negotiate pricing based on cost of production, as well as quality of product, not on fluctuating, unpredictable market prices. This enables them to create thriving businesses with bright futures. And our customers get empowered knowing exactly who grows their coffee and how, as well as knowing they are a part of a new, sustainable, global coffee network. To try our coffee, go to JoeBeanRoasters.com and be sure to check out our Perpetual Joy coffee subscription to receive a rotating selection of single-origin coffee delivered right to your door. Thank you to all our Rochester friends who have supported us and our farming partners so wonderfully over the years. You are making a difference with every bag.
Certified PG. Pretty great.
It's Anomaly Presents with your friends, the Podcastronauts.
Sounds like a lot of supernatural baloney to me.
Supernatural, perhaps. Baloney, perhaps not.
Hello and welcome to Anomaly Presents, the podcast about the genre movies that inspired a genre film festival. That is the Anomaly Film Festival. It makes its home in beautiful Rochester, New York. We are doing it again for, what is this, the seventh time? 2018,
last
seven.
Year was six,
lucky number
six,
seven.
Oh my God.
Right?
Listen, we don't. Yeah, you don't need to count to put on a film festival. We swear to God, everybody.
This year's lucky seven.
We're all like one.
Lucky number 11. Yeah.
Okay, we made it.
We did it.
No, 1 year barely exists in our head.
That's it. There was 1 year that was real weird for everybody. 2019, huh? Everybody.
I was compiling the list. My wonderful Excel spreadsheet of all of the things we have screened. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about that gem. Oh yeah, I forgot about that gem.
God, loved and gone. My brain is like, my brain.
I think of you fondly, but forgot about you for a hot second while I was doing this, or forgot the year with which we had screened it.
Oh,
yeah, it always kind of lives in the ether as I'm zipping through Tubi, and I'm like, oh hey,
yeah, I've seen that.
There's our friend.
Yeah, our friend. That's it. These films are our friends.
Yeah. So yeah, this is the Anomaly Presents podcast, the podcast about the genre movies that inspired the genre film festival. It's Anomaly Film Festival, November 5th through 7th, the year of our Lord, 2025, in beautiful Rochester, New York, at the historic Little Theater and the slightly more historic Dryden Theater. It's maybe neck and neck. I don't want to give them too much. But yeah.
No. We got to talk good about them. They keep letting us come back. They haven't figured it out yet.
The palatial and historic Dryden Theater at the George Eastman House. In Rochester, New York. AnomalyFilmFest.com is the website. Anomaly Film Fest on all your socials. If you're nasty, I think we're on Mastodon, Blue Sky.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We got the Blue Sky, got the Mastodon, got the Insta. That's it, really.
Orchid.
I should be posting more of our reels to TikTok, but I'm not. That's on me. Oh, and I guess technically Facebook. Instagram's supposed to go on there, but you don't want to hear about me and my social media manager issues. You can tell the ones I like, and they're my children, my favorite children, and the others that are like, well, those also exist.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. I love all my children equally. Is this like Lucille Bluth? She's like, never had a kid from Facebook.
So, yeah. That is the Anomaly Film Festival. We are here to talk about the movies that inspired the Anomaly Film Festival. Sometimes it's kind of marginal. Sometimes it's just movies we really like, so we just want to talk about them. This one, I can honestly say, is kind of foundational for Anomaly.
Foundational for personal growth.
Yeah. It's one of the touchstone films that kind of brought about that weird, like, independent auteur situation, maybe in the
auteur
2010s. Is that where we were? Somewhere in that ballpark.
This movie came out in
2003. Yeah. And
it's
then
been with us longer.
Yeah. And then
it feels like it shouldn't be the 2000s, though. I feel like 1980s, 1990s. Every time I see 2003, I'm like, really?
Right. Exactly.
It feels older.
it hit
and yet
some
ageless.
Yeah, it hit some weird notoriety out in LA, and they're like midnight movies, and then all of a sudden there were a bunch of articles written about it. And then you could buy the DVD from the filmmaker off his website.
Breen style.
Breen style.
Exactly who I thought of.
So I read one of those articles. I bought the DVD from Tommy Wiseau off his website.
Living the life.
Came with a nice palm card. It was very, very cool.
Yeah. Listen, you walk the walk, not just talk the talk. Like, I will buy and support this.
We had it. We had everybody over to watch it, including our Anomal Dads, Matt and Adam, which gave way to more screenings like that, including Birdemic later down the road.
Amen.
Which led into us joining forces with Magnus and Film Fail, and that's where we kind of joined forces with Magnus and Meg and
So Foundational is right.
This is a cornerstone.
Y'all thanked Tommy
Wiseau.
Then you all found out I didn't watch it, and it immediately got bumped to the top.
Oh yeah, exactly. This is rescheduled. We have a database, we have a spreadsheet that KP has put together, and we blew it up because Matt and I are like, oh no.
Wait.
No, KP.
KP, we've been doing theology for 7 years now, and you didn't read Genesis? What the fuck? So here we are. We're talking about the 2003 classic, The Room. Also because this is a movie podcast and you are contractually obligated to talk about The Room episode, just by virtue of the fact that you're a movie podcast. So the Punches and Popcorn episode will probably be out in about 6 months.
Love you guys. shout out.
There technically is a fight scene.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And a lot of taunting.
It could.
Cheep. Speaking of arrested development and not knowing what a bird sounds like.
No idea what a chicken sounds like.
Has anyone in this family even seen a chicken before?
Perfect. That energy, except for arrested development, that is on purpose. And in The Room, it is very lovingly not on purpose.
Yeah. And I don't know. I feel like it's kind of, I don't know, almost beating a dead horse to go into the background of The Room, because there's been books and movies and all that.
Yeah.
And he goes around and does plenty of interviews and I know he kind of flip flops on things. So it just seems like there's certain core things you will know. Everything else is just take it for what it is.
Well, I have a question. So we've answered. So Matt, you said the first time you saw it, right? That was buying the DVD.
I bought the DVD.
Right. Okay. And then KP, it was because we made you right now.
Yes, about a week and a half ago, whatever.
So it's funny because my first real watching it was through Riff Tracks.
Oh.
So we've all had three very different experiences. It became one of my favorite, most relaxing Riff Tracks to throw on. The do-do-do-do, is relaxing to me because I'm like, I'm just going to pop this on and just hang out in my room or half sleep. So when I hear oh, hi, Mark. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is my happy place.
I can rest.
Yeah. Because I'm also safe because I'm not with this movie alone. There are experts and professionals that are walking me through. No, that was a very weird thing that just happened. Don't worry. Thanks, guys.
I feel like we might have done you a disservice, KP. You didn't watch this all by yourself, did you?
Oh, no. KP froze. Uh-oh. Oh, no.
KP may have realized the error of her ways and just escaped completely from the stream.
Okay. We'll just keep vamping
for a bit. Yeah. So yeah, it's an interesting thing when you run into those movies like that though, because you do need kind of a crowd to watch it either in your living room or you know.
Yeah, basically I was alone. Oh, hello, KP.
I'm dead now. I'm so sorry.
Welcome back.
Right, it was the question shocked you so much. You're I did watch it alone, you sons of bitches. And then you just froze.
Yeah, I was going to make my sweetheart suffer through that. So
you know what? Love. That was beautiful.
She would have been done in the first 10 minutes. Yeah.
I'm gone.
There are very specific checkpoints I can think of in this movie where she might punch out. And 10 minutes is probably it. Yeah. And then if she made it 40 minutes in.
It was funny. I have watched plenty of movies that are, I'm sure, inspired by this, right? Or feel very like, yeah, I'll make my own passionate,
yeah,
very passion personal project story.
Yes.
And we've explored them on this podcast.
Indeed.
And so I was like, yep, this is ridiculous. This is just all ridiculousness. I mean, this man is being very serious about what he's doing.
Oh, yeah.
It is. The way I look at it is I was like, it's definitely not, it's not Showgirls, right? It's not somebody who, like, it's over the top for a reason, or, you know, the acting is the way it is for a reason. This is a man who tried very hard to make something that meant something to him. And is a laughing stock, kind of. I feel a little weird about that.
Yeah, what's it's weird because, like, this goes right into, like, so the reason I like this, and you know, I think folks are you know, folks who like this kind of film are kind of like, you know, figure out what do you call it, because it's so bad it's good sounds almost insulting. And here's the thing: you had a good time. I like talking very specifically about this kind of film. I like the term egosploitation when it is one person, usually a dude, who, you know, let's say they have at least three credits, if not more, in the creation. This is very Neil Breen. But the idea that someone who had a message that they wanted to share, and they are very serious about it. These are very serious movies about serious issues. Bringing up Birdemic, James Nguyen had something to say about the world and ecology and was very serious. One of my my favorites, speaking of madness, because we went through several of this gentleman's films during Film Fail, Frank D'Angelo.
I was just going to ask you to talk about Frank D'Angelo. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes. Okay. The Canadian businessman who I believe his money was from Cheetah Energy Drink.
Yes.
And he's used that money to make a series of films where he's like a really cool, somewhat mob-related dude. He's driving a motorcycle, and they always end up eating at the restaurant this man actually owns. And he's this is funny because it's interesting, the parallels to Why So, where Tommy also wrote a movie where everyone loves him and they come to him for advice. And he's like this amazing, and this is the same thing with D'Angelo. And it's very interesting to see, like, same thing with Breen. You have someone who wrote a story, how someone who looks exactly like they are, and they're very much them. Anytime you see any of these filmmakers outside of the film, this is the same person. And they're writing a story about how they're really cool and amazing and wise. And when bad things happen, it's everybody else's fault and the world's horrible. Because really, if people just listen to them and let them, like, lead, well, the world will be a better place. So I'm very interested. Another movie, Champagne and Bullets.
Yes.
Another where a man stops the movie entirely just to do a Hamlet soliloquy because he can, but also he's pretty sure he's really good at it.
Right? Also takes time out to do his big rock ballad.
Oh my god, it's an entire song.
That, like, he wanted to be a rock star and an actor, and so he's both as a springboard.
Puts the brakes on the movie for 4 minutes so he can sing the song.
Well, that's Tommy Wiseau with the two sex scenes. He thinks he's like debonair. He thinks he's like a heartthrob.
These movies.
What's happening?
They reveal so, like, I almost, like, what's happening for me. And part of the reason I enjoy them: one, they're interesting. There's a lot of boring movies out there. These are not mediocre films. These are special. And I hold that very dear to me. And part of what makes them special is you have someone, an artist. I'm going to say artist. Art doesn't have to be good or bad. It is art. It is creation. And it is very self-revealing. They are revealing more about themselves than they know they are, which I think is key to egosploitation. Like, I know a lot about these guys now. I know a lot about what makes them tick. And I think that's what others find very interesting. Like, I know a lot about Tommy. I feel like I know how at least one of his relationships went.
Disastrously.
Yeah, very badly.
I was reading the Wikipedia, and he had written a 540-page novel became.
That was the origin of this.
A journal.
Yeah.
It sounds like a journal. Like, he had the worst breakup. Whoever this witch of a woman was just didn't appreciate him, woke up one day and just decided to stomp all over his heart.
Yeah.
She's never actually given a reason. She just wakes up and is like,
He bought her an expensive dress and he cheats on her.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think that points to it being very revealing about him, because these aren't fully, like, the characters are not three-dimensional. They're all like the people who hurt me. the real victim and hero in life.
I was going to say, it's very much the pastiche and KP. Yeah, it's a journal. Some would call it a manifesto. It's kind of that sort of thing where it's just, these are the people that wronged me in very broad stripes, and we're just going to go at them. And this is how the world looks through my weird.
Yeah.
Very interesting eyes.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He just, based on what we do know about him, he seems like the type of guy who's just like, wants to reinvent himself and wants to be cooler and wants to run away from who he was. Like there's very little known about his past. He tried to pass off being French. Like he changed his name to sound French as opposed to Polish. So like there's all these things that are just like, yeah, okay, I'm sorry, I guess whatever happened, but
I mean, what was the sitcom he created? Was it The Neighbors?
The Neighbors, or the Neighborhood? Yeah.
Again, a setup where like, hey, I'm the cool dude. Everyone in the neighborhood knows, and they're all wacky, but I'm there, and like he's trying. Yeah, you can see desperately he's trying to write his own story.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is what he wants his life to be, and I gotta give it to him. I mean, I know who Tommy Wiseau is.
Oh yeah. I just like, I think of like him going to these screenings that are Rocky Horror-esque and it's something so important to yourself, right? That is deep and you wrote 540 pages on it. And my understanding is like the filming of this took a very long time because he wanted to get it right. And
information on that. It's fascinating.
Oh yeah. And then you just go, these people are like throwing spoons and laughing at parts that you probably didn't intend to be funny. And it's that weird dichotomy of being like, I'm famous and people are seeing my work and there's something great about that. And it's being interpreted in a way that I did not intend.
Well, what's interesting I find with white, like say I'm going to be bring Breen up a lot. I'm sorry.
I think it varies because
that is one place where they do differ is I think why so in his need to I think just be famous. I don't even think his need is to be an actor or a writer, or I think his need to be famous perhaps as an artist, but famous, right? So that I think explains his adjustment to going, oh, it was always a comedy. Oh, it was a dark comedy. Like I think because he needs to tell himself that he can enjoy this, which is great. Whereas Breen will not allow you to show any of his movies as a midnight movie. He is not down with anyone enjoying this in any way but how he presents it. And that's just that is interesting. I think that just probably speaks a bit to their differences, but also that ego. Either way, can you turn the world so it fits your ego, or do you try to force the world to it fits your ego, you know?
Yeah, with Breen, I saw somebody compare him just recently to George Lucas. Like in his mind, he thinks he's George Lucas, which is why the films have kind of evolved the way they have. So
plus
now
the
he's
green
just
screen
doing
usage.
Everything on green screen because he can.
Control. Yeah.
And it's all controlled. It's all, it's his own little diorama almost.
Yeah. Which is interesting because Wiseau hasn't really, like, The Room was his, like, masterpiece. That was the thing he had to get out in the world. And it's almost like everything after was just to keep the fame. Like a weird selling underwear. I feel like, again, that's more interesting to him is I'm Tommy Wiseau. Whereas Breen's like, I will continue to make movies for I'm an artist. I love both of these situations quite a bit because it speaks to what's important in each of their lives.
And also keep them busy because I've seen inside their souls.
Oh my God.
And I don't want that. You stay busy doing other stuff.
Please, please.
What would be happening in this world if Tommy Wiseau was left to different devices than what he's at? He did just make a movie recently, didn't he? Where it was like a shark attack movie, like a year or two ago.
Oh, he might.
In 2023.
Yeah, I want to say it ran as a double feature at the North Park in Buffalo. They ran that and then The Room.
That's very specific, so I bet that's true.
Yeah.
That's a very specific thing to think.
It feels recent to me. That's the only reason. Cause I was like, oh, Tommy Wiseau is there. He was also there at Christmas time showing The Room.
IMDb picture is scary. Okay. I'm sorry. It's called Big Shark.
I feel like Wiseau's become a little more self-aware. It's about fame, I think, for him, as opposed to art. So he's leaning into, well, why will people invite me? It might not be why I made my thing, but people invite and talk to me. That's what he likes.
It's a thing. This is going to sound weird, but it's a thing I kind of got to watch firsthand because it was breaking right when we were at Comic-Con in San Diego, like every year for 6 years. So we saw the evolution of Wiseau.
Oh, because
like the 1 year he was there and he was hawking the DVDs and he was like, there's a very specific era that Tommy Wiseau is from, and it's 1999. It is Korn and Limp Bizkit.
Yeah. You're talking aesthetically.
We saw him successive years and he had the biggest JNCO pants I've ever seen in my life. And then the black plastic chain, you know, like they use at the amusement parks behind between the stanchions.
Oh, yeah.
That
yeah.
was his chain wallet.
Amazing. Amazing.
But in successive years, he started to play the part of celebrity more. Like there were the first couple of years, it was, I'm happy to see you. Like if people caught him, and then he was trying to be incognito in a way, still dressed as Tommy Wiseau, mind you. He's a very distinctive figure in general.
Yeah.
But still trying to play it like he's just walking the aisles. Like,
Tommy. Don't notice me, but saying it very loudly. Oh no, please leave me alone. I'm just trying to go about my day. Okay. Yeah.
Don't look over here. It's not Tommy Wiseau. Yeah.
So, I said, don't look over here.
Yeah.
Fascinating. So
it was an evolution probably in that 3 years between the time that article, it might have been the Vulture article, came out.
Yeah.
And whenever there was like a web series he did, like House of Something or Other.
Where it's like him playing Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
I didn't want to look these things up because I was like, I just read about it and was like, I don't want the internet clogging up whatever else I got going on.
You're getting Google notifications anytime Wiseau is in the area.
Yeah. I'm happy you're having a good time and you're busy.
Keep him busy. Keep him busy, everybody. But you Yeah, go ahead.
I think you're right, Meg. Like it is that where he's there for the fame of it more than he is, because that's what he wants, is that recognition.
He remade himself. Yeah. Even though people are like, this isn't you. It is him in that he made himself this. He's living that. He 100% is Tommy Wiseau right now. And what a triumph. I mean, honestly, for him, whatever is like hinted at, like the Disaster Artist book, you know, Greg Sestero and the co-writer do a little like stuff that Greg could figure out and a little bit of research. It does not sound like a great past. If whatever they could pick up, right? It sounds very much like he would love for that just never existed, and he did it. He did it. He's an oddball, but he reinvented himself, like the American dream.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. He really does embody the American dream, which is a wild thing to say.
Yeah,
but you're right. And he did it by making this movie that is just. Let's dive into it.
Should we talk about the movie?
Let's talk about the we're 20 minutes into the Cult of Personality for Wiseau, so we can probably
this is
hit.
What he would want.
Oh yeah, no doubt. Yeah. This is an hour long, and we spent half of it talking about him.
Yeah, we're doing our part.
Yeah, the folk hero that is Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah.
So this movie. So it starts.
Dude, yes, KP, it's fresher in your mind, probably.
There's three sex scenes in the first 26 minutes. And when I was like, I looked at the time and said, what is happening here? But it also, like you said, does not give 2003. Definitely gives 80s, 90s.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah, that real
and
soft
also
timeless. Focus.
Timeless. Yes. Yeah. There is a timelessness too. Like, I don't know what's going on because an alien made this film.
I was going to say, because... I don't want to sound
this.
They're
in one room and it's just curtains.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he's wearing a suit. She's, I'm trying to remember what kind of clothes she wears other than that red dress.
Right. It's an iconic red dress. Lisa's red dress, iconic.
Yeah. Lisa is always dressed just as like Southern California, late 90s.
Yeah.
It's just,
with the giant French tip manicures. Mm-hmm. that was wild. How many times we saw that. I'm like, what is happening here? She must have just paid good money for that.
Either that
we're going to watch it again and again.
It's another peek into Wiseau's psyche. It's one of the two. But yeah, it's just everything about it. Meg, you said alien, and everything about it feels that way because it's shot very much like a sitcom, but translated back and forth from a different language.
Tone
like,
is wildly off during certain things. Yeah. I'm going to refer back to the Disaster Artist a couple times. They would talk about like, hey, Tommy, When we're having dialogue that, like, say, like Mark is talking about, I used to know this girl. She was going out with a lot of dudes. She got beat up so bad, she ended up in a hospital. And Tommy laughs and he goes, oh, Mark. And they would go, Tommy, please don't react that way. That makes no sense. And I was like, no, that's how, like, that stuff. Like, yeah. It is a why so reaction. Because it makes no, you know, like, or the famous, like, when he goes up to the roof and he slams his water bottle down. I did not hit her. I did not. And then instantly, oh, hi, Mark. And, mm-hmm. like, they were like, Tom, that makes no sense. You were upset. And he's like, no, that's how I'm going to play it. So he had a vision.
There are so many.
And it's very not human.
Yeah. The sex scenes, too, are not to sound pervy about it, but. Wow.
Well, even the ones that Denny doesn't show up in?
I mean, there's that, which is weird. Denny, who is anywhere between, what, 13 and 74 years old?
Yeah.
And at least like 20.
Just wild, because again, like, another peek into Wiseau's brain. So he wants to be like, oh, I'm the cool neighbor who takes care of this kid and I look up after him, but he's jealous of my love of my hot lady. So he'll just like come up when we're about to get busy and then we just wrestle on the bed and it's fine and not awkward and I don't yell at this guy to leave my house.
Yeah, because again, he reads like he's a high schooler.
I can't get a bead on Denny.
Yeah, and that's bizarre. And yeah, it's one of the more confounding movies I've seen.
Yeah, or just, you know, the stuff where Lisa's mom's like, out of nowhere, like, well, I got to call back. It's definitely breast cancer. And it never comes back. That should be devastating. That should affect, like, oh, well, then Lisa's under a lot of stress. And she's, nope.
No.
This movie is an hour and a half, 25? Not even. Yeah. It's like an hour 20. Yeah. And
it's dense.
Well, that I don't know how many times I, like, after that first 24 minutes, and then after that I was like, we're still going?
Well, you're like, hello?
Hello? Hello?
It is a short film that feels much longer.
Yes. Indeed. And it's wild because, what, didn't they, like, run out of time, or, like, some of the actors weren't available, probably would have been more, like, the psychiatrist or therapist friend.
Oh, that's the best part. Peter, the guy who plays Peter, the friend and psychologist, who there is a scene for, right? Yeah, he is very clear. He said, listen, I have obligations after this, so I can't film anymore after this date. That date came and went. So all of a sudden, an entire new character is introduced. Well, I say introduced. Shows up and basically says all of what would have been Peter's lines. And the movie's just like, oh, this other guy. Yeah, you all know this other guy. Did we introduce him? We didn't have time.
From nowhere.
We didn't have time.
Apparently, the cast and crew, there's a lot of turnover. Apparently, the crew, at least the legend is at least four times a complete recap, you know, a rehiring of the crew. Greg Sestero was not supposed to be in the film. He was doing it because he was a friend / roommate of Tommy. Yo, the Disaster Artist, the book. Wild shit. But so he was there just to help his friend Tommy, and the first person who played Mark was one of the several actors who were recast during it, and Greg was there. So Greg Sestero's trajectory of his life, not just his career, his life was changed when he was cast as Mark, and it was just because of the general chaos of the filming.
Could you imagine just the proximity? Like,
yeah, that was it. Oh, yeah. He was there because he met Tommy in an acting class, needed a place to live. And I was like, sure, I'll help you, weirdo whose apartment I live in sometimes. And then, boom. Super fascinating. The fact that, so Tommy didn't really understand filmmaking, which I think is fairly clear. On a technical level, though, he filmed everything in both 35 millimeter and high definition video. Basically, they built a special thing to film both at the same time. There is no high definition video in the final cut. It is just 35 millimeter. He didn't know that those are just two different formats and you should choose. So he just spent the money to just record with both at all times.
Which, again, goes towards what we were saying before, where things are sometimes off kilter because they didn't have it quite right. So things were
It was like a a handmade rig, yeah. So both things would be in there
running at the same time. And then what? Sometimes it's like fuzzy, then it's not fuzzy, and then the
there's
sound.
Green,
and then
there's green like screen for no reason, like the green roof. Why didn't you just film
and
on
they
a roof?
Were literally outside. They were outside.
Yeah,
they filming those. Yeah. They built the set for that the famous tuxedo like
football
scene. Yeah, they were like, we could film this. There are alleys, but he had a vision. Also, he didn't know how films were made, but he thought he knows how. That's the thing with Wiseau. He doesn't know how films were made, but he thinks he knows how films are made. And whatever his thought about it that day was how they made the film.
I've had managers like that in the past.
Just,
and...
yeah.
Yeah, just yeah.
Yeah.
It just, never. It's yeah. You're just trying to survive.
Imagine having that confidence, though. Like that's the amazing thing to me. Like just the confidence. Nah, I'm pretty sure I know how to do this.
No, I got this.
Yeah, I got this.
I got this. You most certainly don't. Do not got this, but okay.
And everyone's like guiding him to be like, hey, this isn't how, maybe not. And he's like, no. I am certain. Yeah. This is the way it shall be done.
The certainty. Yes, KP, the certainty with which this film was made is wild.
If I had even an eighth of the confidence that Tommy Wiseau had at any given moment.
Right? Unstoppable. Unstoppable.
Not honest to God.
Well, the fact that they made this movie was $6 million. Who gave this man $6 million?
Oh, that is
always a mystery. People are like, where did this money come from? There are many stories. We'll never know. And you know what? It doesn't really matter. It exists, and it's a gift from the universe to everybody else.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Do you think he's made the $6 million back at this point? You got to figure, right?
I guess. It's just, okay, so it's the wild mismanagement at the beginning. Because, okay, so besides that, right, the marketing. So they had that billboard. That famous belt for 5 years. He paid for that shot of his face, which he called the evil man, which isn't what his character is in the film. It's just a weird shot of him. But why so like the image so much that he's like there on this billboard 5 years, a Hollywood billboard.
It's insanely expensive, even accounting for inflation.
So I would love to think he made the money back, but I don't know if Wiseau is like, the best with a I feel like that he could have 5 cents, he could have $5 million in his account, and I would believe any in between.
I would know the Seth Rogen money probably got him over, like that would be my hope.
Right,
yeah, like at that he's able to recoup and at least be comfortable until who knows what kind of lifestyle this man leaves. But
do you think Tommy's ever comfortable
financially or just in his skin?
Human skin. No, right?
No.
Like, I feel like
the question is human, because he never seen a human act like that.
It's
total
his first day on Earth.
Total Edgar suit moments.
Right.
Like, it's
and they met in an acting class. He felt called to acting. One of my favorite bits of knowledge there is because like he had a lot of different, he liked Tennessee Williams plays. He liked a lot of the like big actors. Like he loved James Dean. The fact, you know, the reason that you're tearing me apart, Lisa, line exists is he's just ripping off Rebel Without a Cause. He just added Lisa at the end.
It feels a lot like Streetcar or like the big Rebel Without a Cause. Like I can see where he loved like
he felt
those real life.
Yeah, he felt called to that. And this is what Tennessee Williams is interpreted through the man who calls himself Tommy Wiseau. It's fascinating.
It really is. I can see where it's Tennessee Williams meets Meisner, just like that real like.
Yes. Once I read that, I was looking through it again. I said, okay. I mean, things don't make sense, but I almost maybe see the road he was trying to get on. He didn't get on that road. Like he took the wrong exit, but I know where he was trying to go.
But now that you mention it, I think if you try to take human logic out of it and just cast it from the emotional impact of it, sure, it has the exact trajectory. So he understands, which to his benefit, really.
Yeah.
And it may just be to like just translating back and forth between, you know, what, wherever his origin is and Western American movies.
Yes.
Cause I, we can probably, we don't know where he's from, but we can say it's probably not Nebraska.
No.
Right.
No, I would put the little bit of money I have on that. Yeah.
So, but he didn't come up in that Western culture. So
American, like, reflection from somewhere.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
Eastern Europe is my guess.
Yeah. I would say general Eastern Europe is probably where we are with it. Right.
Yeah.
But I can totally see where, if you grew up watching that, like, on TV or at the movies, and that's your reference for American culture.
Yeah.
And then you really attach yourself to those, like, big American movie star icons.
Yeah. That's what he wanted to be.
And
he did it
from that standpoint.
Yeah.
Super successful. And I think that's probably why, you know, 22 years later, it's still relevant, is that you can feel that.
Yeah. The absolute want and need to be this person, not just the character, but the person who made this thing for, you know, yes, absolutely. It is an act of self-creation that is so ballsy, that is so, like, beyond, like, most of us would stop and go, that's embarrassing, that's cringe, what am I doing? But because Wiseau either doesn't or cannot have that stop point, he made the room.
Yeah.
All the good and bad that comes from that.
He made the room, and then all the reflections of that afterward, which...
Yeah.
How many of these movies, like, again, going back to The Disaster Artist, the novel / movie.
Yeah.
When are they going to make a D'Angelo big budget mockumentary epic with James Franco playing? Well, probably not James Franco at this point.
No,
well, maybe maybe with D'Angelo. It could be. But you know what I mean? It's level of.
Yeah. So, yeah, someone creating a version of themselves that they wish to be true. They wish to be seen as. Oh, it's fascinating. Though, quick aside for D'Angelo, which is fascinating, because they all have all these egosploitation directors. They have their things that make them kind of different. D'Angelo would get folks, like, actual actors. Like, he had, like, Frank Nero. He had, like, Margot Kidder. I think Doris Roberts in a couple things. Doris Who else? Was it Robert Loggia?
Robert Loggia.
Here's what
Armand
I heard.
Visconti.
Because here's the thing. They'd film over the weekend. He'd pay cash, and the catering was good.
Yeah.
He got to hang out with, oh God, what's his name from Eddie and the Cruisers? Michael Paré.
He's
in a bunch of his films. So people come back to a D'Angelo film. I think they know the film they're in, but he pays them, and he has, and what D'Angelo gets out of it is, I get to hang out with these actors, and then I get to be like, I'm also one of these actors. In fact, I'm the star of the thing they're in. So that's his story, is I'm a cool, like, Hollywood dude. I'm hanging out with this dude. You've seen him in TVs and movies.
Right.
That's
because
it.
I feel like for D'Angelo, part of it is, I'm going to make this movie where I'm the cool dude, but also at 9 o'clock at night, I'm going to be sitting there with a glass of scotch.
Yeah.
Talking about The Craft with Eric Roberts.
That's it for him. That's what it is. It's always fascinating for him. It's the, hello. Because he's got the money, and I don't think he has the need Wiseau does to totally convert himself. He just needs to be like, I'm not just a guy who has, like, who created an energy drink. Also, I am also an artiste.
I am an artiste. I am a TV personality, because he did have his interview show for a while. He had, like, his late night variety show.
He's another guy that we need to keep in the arts.
Be busy. Yeah, just be busy over there.
I need him to stay real busy. I got a feeling. I need him to stay in the arts and entertainment.
He's a person that really just needs to keep in front of a camera.
Yeah.
We should probably do one of his movies at some point. What was it? Sicilian Vampire?
I was just about to say, the movie that he is a vampire, but about a halfway through the movie, he forgets he's a vampire because he's not actually interested in that. And it kind of becomes another one of his. He's basically like a mob guy. But you know, one of those cool mob guys who protects the neighborhood and loves his lady and protects her and rides a motorcycle.
That was also the last one we watched together, the one with Robert Loggia and Margot Kidder. I really enjoyed it. I thought that was fun.
Yeah, I gotta check
that out. I don't remember
out.
The name of it.
Hey, you know what's interesting?
We watched it together. We were over at Magnus' house.
We watched so many D'Angelo films.
Yeah.
In all honesty, I'd have to, like, go,
there was
which
a
one
stretch
was that?
Of, like,
was that the one where he was kind of the mob guy who was like the coolest dude in the neighborhood? Or was it the one where he's the mob guy, this coolest dude in the neighborhood? They both were in a restaurant.
It was the one where he rode the motorcycle.
Oh, yeah. Which I was like, that was just a tax write-off. That legit, I will guarantee you, he drives that thing in real life.
That Bugatti is his, yes.
It
100%.
Is his.
100%. Well, I haven't watched any of his movies either, so we'll add it to the list.
We'll get there on that. We're going to take you through the ABCs of egosploitation.
And then we're going to watch Champagne and Bullets. But we need to have stuff in between so we know how movies are supposed to look.
Yeah, wonderful. We will do that.
Champagne and Bullets, I have the Blu-ray, so we could do that together at some point.
Oh, yeah, wonderful. Whichever version, because he added stuff 20 years later.
I have the Vinegar Syndrome Blu-ray, is all of them.
Yes!
It's the Get Even cut. It's Champagne and Bullets. It's the whole, there's three different cuts. I have all of them.
You know how I can bring this back to the room?
Tell me.
Apparently, according to Greg Sestero, originally Johnny was supposed to be revealed to be a vampire in the room. Hey, do you think that movie makes more sense or less sense with that, looking through that lens? I don't know.
You want to know what? I think it makes more sense.
Yeah.
Because then that gives you some context as to why
he acts not human.
He behaves in the way he does.
Yeah. Yeah. It was interesting. Although, Chris, this is just from Sestero. I don't know if
he's even thought about that one.
Yeah. Yeah. But I love the idea that he was going to make Johnny a vampire. And I was like, could this film support one more thing, or is it like some sort of like that topple game that just slips over?
It could have been the Jenga moment.
Yeah, kodom.
But I don't know that it would, because again, I think that explains
stuff.
70% of the behavior.
Now, of course, he's a daywalker, but you know we can excuse that for the plot.
The fact that they throw a football within 3 feet of each other.
Oh my God. He loves football. I think football is America to him, because there's like at least two football throwing scenes.
Yeah.
That is very symbolic for him. He's like, I made it because I'm making a movie and I'm tossing a football around to my friends who I am paying to be my friends in this film.
Yeah.
It's I love it. There's something so interesting about a revealing film that is enjoyable in a way that was not intended, but it is still enjoyable. Those are ones I really, hold dear.
And the thing that really gets me about it is how it's connected to so many people in so many weird, it's 22 years later.
Yeah. It's probably the reason at least 10 podcasts exist.
Oh, guaranteed.
Oh no, we lost KP. That's okay. KP, we're going to keep vamping. Don't worry. Ah, vamping. Wow. It's like, I didn't know to start that. Or this is the power of YSO.
It is the power of YSO. The power of YSO.
I'm back.
We scared KP again.
No. I heard everything, but I was frozen. And I was like, you know what? I'm having technical difficulties, but obviously I'm back.
I saw it lock up on you for a half a second. I was like, oh no.
We're good. But
we're professionals.
I heard it all. It was wonderful. Like, him being a vampire,
I'm curious. Fresh in your brain, would that have made it better, worse, or indescribable?
I think indescribable, because like, he's a good vampire. I don't.
Yeah, I can see
you
that.
He's a good vampire. He's a daywalker. I don't understand how it ties into the rest of, he's a good man. And like,
how does anything tie into anything in that story?
Maybe it's just, I feel like it'd be more like he thought vampires were cool and wanted to be one. Like,
it was Blade era. If we think about it.
Well,
there would have been Interview with the Vampire.
I could see him being real into that.
Trying to just ride that. And you said that he was Mr. like Jenko jeans. And
so that
tracks big, like personality wise.
Yeah.
I could see it. I could see it.
Yeah.
I don't know. In my head, I just, every once in a while, when I'm rewatching The Room, as I tend to, with or without the riff tracks, depending on where my brain is, it's like I can watch the vampire version. I just have to, it's like an alternate track. I just put my brain to you and go, okay, Johnny's a vampire when I rewatch it this time. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, if it was, good thing there was not a cat at the florist, because a cat would have hissed at him.
That's
but
true.
The doggy.
Florist scene.
I know.
My favorite customer.
You're my favorite. Like,
Oh, hi, Johnny. I didn't recognize you. What the fuck did you just say?
Well, I guess if you were a vampire, that would be your interaction with the world. Yeah. Is this what humans do? Hello. Flowers. Yeah. Dog.
Yeah.
It doesn't explain her actions, though.
No. Well, that's it.
But they're controlled from him, so ultimately.
It's
so.
Gotta be. Right. Because how many people on this godforsaken planet look like him to the point where she could mistake him for anyone right? else? You like can't... I say, I have been in a room 8 feet away from the man. There's no way he's anyone but Tommy Wiseau.
I assume he has an aura. Like, I feel like you would know he was in the area before you visually saw him.
Yes.
Like, what the?
Yes, yo, you feel myself. It.
And yeah, then, yeah.
It's a very vampiric quality because, yes, the air turns cold maybe, as he approaches. Yeah.
Maybe like, it was too close to the truth.
Yeah, could exactly.
Be. He was like, oh, I can't give away all my secrets.
No, mm-hmm. I got to save something.
There's got to be.
Yeah.
Right. It also, I mean, it could be real because I don't know that he's aged in the last 22 years.
Yeah.
Oh, he, based on that IMDb picture, he's looking worse. I mean,
he's dedicated to that hair. I will give him that.
That hair.
It is its own character.
Jet black still, which is impressive.
Yeah, it looks dry as heck. He's looking a little worse for wear. Just a smidge. Like,
well, you know, he lives a celebrity life.
The man is never not traveling, as near as I can tell.
I will say this: it doesn't look like he's had plastic surgery. Which kudos to him because
he could have been an absolute monster by now. Like, he could have Jocelyn Wildenstein'd him out.
Yeah,
real bad.
The Level Up Coffee Podcast is now dialed in.
We love coffee and stay connected to every development in the industry, both here in Rochester and worldwide, to bring you our unique perspective on the ever-changing world of coffee.
We're doing regular tastings, reporting on our travels, and trying to hold back tirades about the forces that make the coffee supply chain a neo-colonial mess. Join us on the Lunchador Podcast Network and wherever you get your podcasts, and stay
dialed in.
His IMDb picture looks like him making like the duck lips. It's kind of funny.
Okay, you know what? I'm looking this up now. Yeah, for one second, everybody.
Please. He's staring into my soul. It's very like MySpace profile picture.
Oh,
I don't like this. No,
exactly. No. That's what I mean.
No.
It's a cursed image. It's MySpace profile picture.
You know what it is? The light through the window when I woke up is looking pretty good. It's good selfie light.
Exactly.
I feel like he just woke up and I don't like being in that situation.
It's the duck lips. It's the lighting.
Oh, there we go. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just... okay, but here's the thing. He wants it to look like he just took this photo. How long do you think it actually took get that photo?
The entire camera roll.
Yes,
like this phone was basically like you've run out of space.
That's right. The cloud is full.
Some.
Yeah, it's just fascinating because you can see, like, he is a calculated person, and in this photo, I feel like I can see that he's calculating being casual. I don't think he's a person that casual comes too easy,
no.
Or at all.
I'm sorry, no. I was just distracted by Big Shark.
Yeah, that's okay. It's like, you know what, Matt? You take a second. You can take a second.
I'm watching later. Good night, everybody.
So long. We're ending this now. Sure. Bye. I don't know if complimentary, but it's not derogatory when I talk about why. So it is interest. It is. I am interested. I'm also a little wary. Like, I don't want to be around him. I wish to watch him from a safe distance.
Yes, we're observing with lab coats. Like an experiment, if you will, just to see how you move through the world.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
We can see the reflection in your glasses. What are you looking
at? Yeah, what are you looking at? Like, what are you looking at?
Tommy Wiseau is the villain in Samurai Cop 2?
Yeah.
Okay, no, you know what?
Both of them.
I'm not, I don't like these things combining. I don't like, there's like a certain purity to a bad movie that came out and wasn't meant to be bad. And then you do these sequels where all of a sudden they're combining.
Yeah, because here, so we've got Tommy Wiseau and Bai Ling.
Yeah, okay, see, they're trying too hard. You're trying too hard at that point. But I mean, listen, I get trying to get your money. Like, I know deadliest prey exists. I know this. I know this. I'm not upset that they like took another bite at the apple, but also like it just never, you can't capture it. You can't capture the
other Estevez.
Oh shit. Joe Estevez is in. Okay. Why didn't you say that to begin with, Matt? Maybe I do have to watch this.
Do you know how far I had to scroll to get there though?
Why won't you put, go home, Joe. I don't talk to people who aren't in the movie. See, riff tracks again. Sincerely,
the other Estevez is imprinted on my brain.
Oh my god!
It's
oh
a pretty man, maybe stylish watch... looking movie. Look at this.
Oh,
I need to watch Soul Taker. What's
oh Soul Taker? Wild film. Oh, you know yeah. what? It had almost what I'm looking for. Someone really wanted to make like a supernatural thriller. Didn't really have a whole lot of money. Robert Zadar is in that, right? Am I remembering that correctly?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The chin. It yeah. is, I can see what they were trying to do. I can see what they were trying to do, and I salute them for it. Yeah, I was like, ooh, Soul Taker is a fun one.
See, if Zadar is in it, I'm there.
Right? I was so happy to see him in Cherry 2000, another episode that you should check out for Anomaly Presents.
Go back to the archives. He's not in it a lot,
but I was like, look, it's Zadar.
Every minute of Zadar is worth two minutes of any other actor.
Yeah. We do have to remind people that we do watch regular good films here on Anomaly Presents. Just every once in a while, they let us go a little nuts of the weird stuff.
You're doing good films in Cherry 2000. You're doing a lot of work there.
No. Oh, do I have to fight you?
Wow.
Okay.
I enjoy it.
I love like Cherry 2000. I think it's a genuinely good film that does what it sets out to do.
Agreed.
Yeah, okay.
By that measure, though, so does The Room. So...
Does it? I think you know what? Who goes to watch the audience.
I like to remain friends with you, Matt, so we shall leave this conversation there.
We'll go back to our original argument. What did The Room do for Tommy Wiseau?
It gave him what he wanted.
And that's a success, is it not?
I see. So we're not talking about the piece of art doing what the piece of art set out to do. You're talking about the artist who made the piece of art did. Ah, I see. We're having two different conversations here.
Possibly.
Yeah. I'll give it to him. Hey, I went to art school. I got to do something with this. Okay.
The art school and the English major are really battling it out on this one.
Yeah. Like, okay, what does the mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get granular with this.
I'll Michel Foucault on your ass. I don't care.
KP, save us with a spreadsheet.
Please, I know, and it's funny that you say that
because this away.
I went for like engineering kind.
Yes, like, this is what we need. We need this energy.
Graphic engineering, but engineering all the same.
That's the closest any of the rest of us are getting. There were numbers involved.
There were numbers involved. I had to take calc. I had to take plenty of physics. I had to take optics.
I got a math credit with the 3D sculpture class. I didn't make anything with a right angle in that film. I made in that class, I made a drum out of a gourd. And I got math credit for it.
Jokes on you.
I've told the story. I had to get one math credit in college, and I took algebra for non-majors, which was they brought the 11th grade math teacher from Fredonia High School in to teach all the comm majors and jocks algebra.
These are numbers.
It was discontinued the semester after because they realized it was an 11th grade class.
Oh, but you got it in.
I did, and I got a C minus. So,
loopholes.
So I had to use the Pythagorean theorem, like as an adult.
Holy shit, KP, you're amazing. I'm like, no,
this is like nothing in comparison to regular, like actual.
No. Listen, you're talking to an art major and an English major. We are going to be astounded.
Yeah.
What?
Comms in English. It really wasn't going anywhere for me. Like,
I did get, I think, either a minor or a concentration in literature because you got to have the arts. You can't just be a scientist or else you turn evil.
Exactly. Yes, and this is what movies do for us. We learn important lessons like, yo, you're going to bail. You need some humanities in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. That's how you get your Dr. Dooms. Actually, I take it back. Dr. Doom probably took humanities.
He's got the humanities in there. Yeah. Real life guys. Like,
actually, Reed Richards is the one who needed more humanity. I'm on to you, Richards. What a jerk.
Play that in the movie, but.
I can't imagine. Here's my thing. I cannot imagine Pedro Pascal playing the asshole side of Reed Richards. We'll find out. It'll break my heart a little. Let me go, no, I know you're an actor and I understand that, but also no. But then again, he won't be Reed Richards if he's not kind of a dick.
He's got to be kind of a dick.
Yeah.
The best version of Reed Richards is the one we know, and he's still kind of a dick.
Yeah.
In all the multiverse, this is the most mellow one. It's okay. Yeah.
By the way, Meg, you are the first person I've talked to that is even thinking about that movie coming out.
It's weird because there was like a little flip, like, hey, they showed a trailer and then it went up. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm excited that the guy from the Bears in it. He's fun.
I like that it's like, I like that it's a period piece because I think like start them out because they'll bring them into the present. Start them out where they started because there is a certain 60s flair to the Fantastic Four.
I still stick by the fact they should have made the Peyton Reed one with them in the 60s. That first Fantastic Four movie that Peyton Reed made.
Yeah. Because
he had just made the movie with, what was it, Renee Zellweger and Ewan McGregor?
Down with Love?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, God, yes. What a masterpiece. That's the same director. I love Down with Love.
That's the same director. Wild.
What?
I'm pretty sure that's Peyton Reed. Because Peyton Reed, I want to say he did Mr. Show, and then he did that.
Fascinating.
And then he was supposed to do Fantastic Four, and one of the ideas for the original Fantastic Four, if I remember right, and this could just be...
What I wish happened.
years of what I've done to my brain. But I'm pretty sure it was supposed to be like a like mid-century... Space age Kirby.
I think that's a great way to at least introduce them, like get that feeling. Ah, well.
But they had to go with that McG vibe that nobody liked. Am
Wait,
I right?
So is
that?
That is that the Chris Evans one or is this the other one that had? There's been a lot of fantastic.
That is
movies.
The Chris Evans one, yeah.
Yeah.
So I did John with Love. I don't see him tied to.
Maybe he
was supposed to and didn't.
Yeah,
I like that idea.
I can see that being a good fit because, like, how Down with Love, like, feel
that would be great.
Would have been, which I that is the hope for, I guess, this new one.
I hope so. Here's the thing. It's not the first Fantastic Four movie because that's the Roger Corman one. The other one, but not the newest one. Anyway, the one with Chris Evans. Are they good? No, but I love that kind of introduced him into superheroes, you know? And he actually was a really good Johnny Storm. Like, I thought the casting was fairly good. Elba, rough wig.
The wig
was
great.
That and probably wasn't the best. Yeah. But I was like, oh.
Sometimes she's a little flat, but I gotta go back. I would be like, I gotta go back and watch this. Do I need to go back and watch it? No.
No.
I mean, I like that they brought in Silver Surfer.
Yeah.
Yes. But and Julian McMahon is Doom.
He's a good Doom.
Good Doom.
Yeah. Yeah. They got Doom right.
Which I is probably more than can be said with what we're doing now with Downey. I don't understand.
I think he's a fine actor. I don't know why we're revisiting. Like he made his mark on Marvel. Like that's fine. We're done. Let somebody else take that role and just. I'm not saying he won't be good at it. I just wish I want to see somebody else take it and like do their thing. Be Doom.
Yeah. Could have been great for somebody else.
I just want like it's just Doom and Richards just have to basically like dick slapping each other. Like in all honesty, the entire movie is just them being bitches to each other. Because for me, that's what the real thing is. Like they kind of hate each other, but they can't stay away from each other because like they are both the same level of intelligence and they have to prove each other. And also, you know, Sue. I love Sue. And then we'll have Namor show up, and then everyone wants Sue Storm. And I want to see her side of it where it's like, I need you all to be adults. Please. My brother's enough. I don't need the rest of you like this. Like, what's Sue's life like? It's so much.
Exhausting.
That's the movie I want.
Yeah. Like
that should be Fantastic Four too.
Yeah. There's an adult in the room and it's always me.
Six.
Why? And then no one sees me.
And Ben, 16. Right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's just like, you know what? He just is like, I'm just going to be quiet. I do not want to get involved. Ben's smart enough to be like, you know, I didn't marry him. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
One of us made a mistake.
We all knew he was a dickhead to start with. So there you go.
Yep.
That's why Ben Grimm's the best.
Oh, I love him. Anytime he's in full thing mode, but in a trench coat, I'm happy.
That's great.
I'm like, that's his look. I don't know why, but it's perfect. Him in a trench coat.
Yeah.
A hat, a trench coat, still giant in rocks. I love him.
Yep.
I love him. Oh, we're talking about The Room.
So The Room.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
I think we probably met we got to a good stopping point on The Room. Yeah. I feel like we've done everything we can do with that.
You know what we can do? Yeah. We can think about what Tommy's Wiseau Fantastic Four would be, except for him as all four.
Yeah.
Who would he want to be? I think no, he would have some.
He'd be Reed.
He would be Reed. But would he also want to be Johnny? I feel like he would probably.
Yeah. I feel like Greg's like, I'm right here. And Tommy's like, but also, I think me, though.
Yeah. He'll be like, Greg, you can be Ben.
Yeah. He just puts him in like that. Mm-hmm. Yep.
With the Corman rock suit is exactly what that would be.
Fascinating.
And then he'll get a blonde to play Sue.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. He has type.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So that's been The Room. This has been Anomaly Presents. We do a podcast. We also do a film festival. It's November 5th through the 9th this year. What the line that we are for watching programming is, are we knee deep, elbows deep, eyeballs deep in programming that we're trying to get through to bring to you this year?
Oh, I'm fully immersed just with gills, swimming through cinema, finding the best. It's like pearl diving. Yeah. Like what? Oh, empty. I don't know what this is, but no, this? Yeah.
Yes. The dingle hoppers that we are finding are next level this year. Submit. We're on Film Freeway for Anomaly Film Fest. If you are making something and would like to send it to us, please do. What's our deadline on that? It's a month or two.
I think regular is June 30th. And then I forget what the other thing is.
I don't remember either. It's in the calendar. I'm so August-ish.
Sorry. Is your last chance for romance with us this year.
He'll see it on socials because Megan is on top of it.
Yeah. Meg's okay, all so over here's it. The thing. Even though I said just now, I don't know the date. Calendar Megan has it. It's already in the schedule. Oh, yeah. Calendar Megan's on Hell it. Yeah.
So as you've no doubt ascertained, if you've been with us for a while, dates are just vibes for us. But we always come up with a quality product at the end of it.
Yeah.
And we are completely immersed in making that happen for you. We are at all facets of it. The decoration of the theater, the programming.
Yeah.
The only thing we don't do is concessions, but we don't have to because the little.
Yeah.
They got that shit dead to rights. That's the best popcorn in the world. Join us, won't you?
Yeah.
It's Anomaly Film Fest. It's the 5th through the 9th of November this year. Anomalyfilmfest.com. Keep an eye out on our socials. We will be back in a couple weeks with another movie. I don't know what yet, because we usually decided about 5 minutes after we finished recording.
That's
how we got to The Room. We hung up last week, last time we were here, and went, what should we do? KP, you haven't seen The Room yet? Well, I guess we're doing that.
We're good friends, everybody.
That's how we operate. Very sorry, KP. So
it was good.
Yeah, we've been Anomaly Presents. You've been fantastic for listening, and we will catch you next time. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
This has been a presentation of the Lunch Hour Podcast Network.